Blog Talk Radio.
He's saying, turn from your wicked ways, repent of your sins. Okay, but it says, but what a division. I'm telling you, he's ready to cut up. He's ready to come in there with that two-edged sword and cut you up in your heart. Didn't he do that when he ministered every time the word says they sought to kill him? And here's something else. Don't listen to everything you hear. You listen to the Holy Ghost, that fire that's inside of you. You listen. I'm just wondering, do you have the Holy Ghost? I'm asking you. Do you have that fire of the Holy Ghost? If you don't, you need to get it today. Don't call 911. Let it burn. If it's burning, let it burn. Let the fire just consume everything in your soul that is not of God. Are you in a free-for-all right now in your spirit? Are you getting all uptight? Are you turning red? Are you blowing smoke out your ears because you're ticked off because somebody over the airways has pricked your heart at a fallow ground? You've got a fallow heart, ma'am. So I'm telling you, we've got to get it together because we are in the final hours. We are on the final, I'll say this in pun, but the final countdown of the hour. We're in it. We're doing it. It's coming down. Why don't we've got to be preaching this type of conviction, power, word of God, and not hold any punches back. Take off the gloves. Let's bare knuckle it, people. Let's give it what it's supposed to give. Deliver what God has called you to deliver. Teach it the way he taught you to teach it.
Let me say this to everybody in this building. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. The devil goes to church. This is going to be a shocking statement, but hell will be greatly populated with Sunday morning churchgoers. You may not like this, but I'm not here tonight running a popularity contest, and I truly do want you to approve and like me, but even at that, I must obey God. Hell is going to be populated with Sunday morning churchgoers that have religion in their head and no reality in their heart. They are losing some kind of fealty, but they will not bow to the call of God.
Welcome everyone here to the Fire of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm your host, Revival Fire. This is January the 10th, 2011. Again, I thank you everyone for being here today that are listening on the archives, that are listening here on the computers, your computers, laptops, desktops, and by the phone, whatever you're listening to. Thing in Theology, I thank you for being here today. Patriot Greg, Oasis 1, guest 16671, I thank you for being here and everyone else, like I said, that is listening. And I tell you, it is a glorious, wonderful day in the Lord. I tell you, we have got to focus on the King. The King is what it is all about, King Jesus. He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We have got to keep him first in our lives. We have got to repent of our sins daily. Daily, we've got to be on a repentant state. We've got to walk in a lifestyle of holiness. We've got to walk in sanctification and justification in the Lord. It is a job to do because the Word says to work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling. It is an ongoing job until the day we arrive home. We are supposed to be the ambassadors of the kingdom of God here upon this earth. And that means we do have to walk in that holiness. We have to walk what he's called us to walk. We've got to be with him and know who we are in Christ Jesus. We've got to know our authority in Christ Jesus. Everything has been bought and paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. and he has done it all. He's paid it all for everybody that's ever been born, that is born, and ever will be born upon this earth. He's paid the price. He has brought us back and come back into the righteousness and the right standings with Father God again. And again, I thank him so much. Joseph 2012, thank you for being here. Oh, just a blessing. The house of God is filling up. I just thank God for that. I tell you, we've got a great show today. We have a wonderful guest and dear friend of mine, Trevor Davis, and his webpage is soundingthealarm.com. I encourage everybody to go over there. Here in a few minutes, we're going to bring him on. He has got a power-packed, anointed word from the Lord today for each and every one of us, and I thank God for his walk and his ministry in Jesus' name. Because like I say, it's all about Jesus. It's about getting this message out, the unadulterated word of God. And I tell you, no plan, no frou-frou stuff or no hocus-pocus, but the true living word of God being brought forth over the airwaves here at this show and other shows that are here on BTR that bringing out the truth of the word of God. And it is so important to everyone to hear what the Lord has to say. And I'm gonna go into a prayer, and then we're going to bring our guest on. Like I said in the notation that I sent out to each and every one, that, you know, we're going to open up the phone lines the last 10 to 15 minutes. If you have any questions, you save that so we'll take your call, and you can ask Trevor the question or myself a question. Or if you want to, you can post it in the chat room, and we will bring it up to Trevor at the proper time in Jesus' name. If you would, please bow your heads. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to dedicate this show and every show to him. Dear Father God, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Father God, for another day in you, and this show is dedicated unto you. This whole BTR page and others are dedicated unto you, O God. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would be just doing his job upon the hearts of the people, stirring the people's hearts as your servant today, Trevor Davis, will be bringing your word, Father God. I ask that it be your words coming out of his mouth and not his or mine. In Jesus' blessed name. At this time, I'm going to bring on Trevor Davis. Dear brother, are you there?
Hello, Brother Mike, Revival Fire. God bless
you.
It's good
God
to be here.
God bless you. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Just go. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, Mike, just as we're listening to all these wonderful things as you're starting the program tonight, I'm just aware that God is having the last laugh in these last days by using an instrument that's been used for absolute evil, wickedness, or worldly things that profit nothing to share the gospel, to share the word of the Lord, this love call of God that's to each and every one of us, that we can repent right now if we're still alive. And I'm praying that people would take advantage right now. If you're still alive, that you would call upon the Lord, repent before a holy, wonderful God, and believe on Jesus and have eternal life and walk with him in these last days, because these are unprecedented, such as we've never seen since the world began or ever shall be. And even where I'm at right now is I'm in Cleveland, Tennessee. Mike, we have unprecedented weather. We have 6 to 8 inches of snow outside, and it's brought everything to a stop.
Amen.
You hardly see a car, or you hardly see people walking outside. And it's funny, because when you think about how do we respond to things that are going on in our world, do we stop and look at the significance from God's perspective, or do we just go on and do our own merry thing? And we really need to take heed, because these are the last days. These are a day to not walk as usual, but to walk very circumspectly. We want to walk carefully before the Lord and recognize what he's doing, what he's saying. He's telling us it's time to repent before him, to get right, and to serve him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage people to really seek the Lord, and don't play Russian roulette. Don't play put off the Lord. If you feel conviction, don't brush it off. Don't ignore his voice, because God draws you. No one can come to the Lord unless you're drawn by him. So if you're drawn by him, realize how wonderful that is, how that's God's gift to you. Don't miss it. It'd be a tragedy for any soul not to accept the grace of God. You know, we're not saved by working, by doing our, you know, working and striving to do this and striving to do that. But when we have faith in Jesus and repent, and we put off the old man that was corrupt in sinful deeds, put on the new man that's created in the image of him that created him, we walk in Christ. It's actually Christ himself living in us, and that's what God wants. Now, I want to tell you, Mike, how I really appreciate meeting you. I just met you about 4 months ago.
Yes, sir.
And how I'm getting to know brothers and sisters that are on Blog Talk Radio, and isn't it really amazing how we're all so different? God loves variety. We're not a cookie-cutter clone. And we have individual callings and individual giftings. And I just really want to thank you for the people that I'm getting to know on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you.
God bless you, dear brother.
Anything else that you wanted to talk about? I mean, I'm just aware of the unprecedented events. I mean,
could you go into the times that we're living in, you know, the events that have taken place and what the Lord has shown you to what the scriptures have to say about it?
Right, okay. Well, I would like to share, going back to 2004, 2005, I was in California. I was a real estate broker selling my parents' house. And this is before the real estate market declined. And the Lord was showing me, because, I mean, I was on my face on a day-to-day basis. I was watching my parents really stress out, and the house wasn't selling. It really wasn't any reason other than they hadn't updated the home. It was in a fantastic location. But the Lord was showing me that what was coming was severe. There was persecution coming to the body of Christ, to those that love Jesus Christ, and they weren't prepared. That's first and foremost what I want to say, is the Lord wants you prepared to stand in the day of opposition, because this is a lying time. This is the time of people lying on the TV, the government officials. Everywhere you turn, for the most part, you're going to find lies. But God is a spirit of truth. The Word of God is true. Jesus is true. And we need to recognize how dangerous this is, and we are going to be opposed. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to go through great tribulation before the coming of the Lord, and we need to be ready to lay down our lives. So be ready. And how do you do that? But by seeking the Lord, surrendering your life, yielding to him, and really being ready. And it's really considerate in your heart. Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to be thrown in jail? Are you willing to be lied about? Because that's what God's called you to. And he will give you the grace to endure through those times. The Lord showed me that there'd be multiple cataclysmic events coming suddenly and at the same time. And you'll see this as you read the Gospels, for example, Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, what Jesus outlined, what those days at the end and just before his second coming, what they'd be like. He talked about great deception. Jesus said, take heed that no one deceive you. He talked about wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But that wouldn't be the end yet. He said there'd be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And then he said there'll be persecution. And people will be giving up their faith because the Word of God was shallow in their hearts and they weren't committed to him. You're going to see people, Mike, just casting off their faith by the groves.
Amen.
And that's a tragedy. God's not willing that one would be lost, but there will be many, many lost. So this is what the Lord was showing me, many things like this. And he showed me that the government, the rebelling government, that is seeking to bring an anti-Christ world government, is going to work with a rebelling religious system that's going through the religious motions, that's not really submitted to the head, Jesus Christ, that's just going through the motions, just like the Pharisees and the scribes in Jesus' day that actually killed Jesus. And they're literally going to work together to persecute the faithful ones, Christians. So this is what the Lord's preparing me, is I'm to follow him. That I'm to fear God, not fear man, but to fear God, that after he's killed me, he could throw me into hell, right? But I'm not to fear man. So this is another thing. Keep your perspective proper before the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Like Mike was saying, we want to, on a daily basis, crucify ourselves to live in Christ on a day-to-day basis and be great at repenting. Don't let time go on without repentance. You want to protect that fellowship, that union you have with the Lord. The Lord showed me that there'd be great earthquakes. I saw what was coming to California. This is one of the reasons why the Lord led me out of California. So I do believe on the other side of the coin, there's going to be a great time for those that are submitted to the Lord, that have come outside the camp, come outside of a false religious system to serve the Lord. It's going to be glorious. Isaiah 60 talks about the glory of the Lord coming upon those that love him and believe in him, and his glory will be seen upon them, and they'll be doing exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. There will be people that will repent. There will be people that will call upon the Lord, even though everything in the world is coming apart at the seams. So this is what we want to give our full attention to, the eternal things of God, and so we may be able ministries of Jesus, so we can hear clearly the Lord. You know, I was talking earlier about when these events happen, how do you handle it? Like myself right now, I'm shut in. I can't go anywhere, and I'm waiting upon the Lord. I've got to hear from the Lord. There's things that I have to hear from the Lord that I can't do myself, that I have to hear from the Lord. I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm going through trials, and many of you, most of you, I would say anybody that's in Christ right now is being tried by fire. Isn't that true?
That's right. That's right. You know, that refiner's fire is bringing all that dross up in our lives. You know, he's refining his people by the Holy Ghost putting it on us, allowing it, not putting it on us, but allowing us to go through it, that fiery furnace. Like I was saying a couple of shows ago, you know, that fiery furnace is there, and it is a reason to get us to the point where he wants us. If we didn't go through that trial or temptation, we would not be where he wants us to be at, because we would have a tendency, the human part of us would be getting real complacent. Instead of, we've got to keep, during that fiery furnace, grasp for the Lord for assurance to make it on through, that he will show us the way and stand on the word of God.
Amen. You know, God's a potter, and what he's molding us. He's molding our life. And yes, we are unique in our character and our gifting, the different purposes that God has in our life, the way we express things. But what God's ultimate purpose for us is to mold us into the image of his dear son, Jesus. That's what he's doing. So he's taking Trevor out of this pot of this pile of pottery, see? And he's molding me. All I want my father to see is his son. That's all he wants to see in any of us, is the life of his son. And that's how we please him, that we could offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. So God's taking us through the trials, the tribulations, but we're not to be discouraged, because we know that God's going to finish what he began in us for his glory. And James was talking, I'm going to read some verses from James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Come on.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. You know, I was reading this because I've been going through this, Mike, and what the Lord was showing me is, if I'm going to go through this trial, I better let God accomplish what he's putting me in this for.
Come on.
And that it's completely done. I don't want to be half-baked. You know, there was a scripture that talks about Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel, being half-baked. They
That's
were cooked
right.
on one side, but on the other, just a bunch of dough.
That's right.
And God wants us thoroughly complete in Christ.
Amen.
And it's not. It's hard. It's hot. It's hot in that oven. It's hot in that furnace.
Oh, yeah. Pressure.
But the end results are awesome, are glorious, are peaceful, if we allow God to accomplish what he's taking us through the fire. So I want to encourage you that you are going through trials, that God's molding you into the image of his dear son, that you want to pay attention to these days, these unprecedented events, because every single thing that people have trusted in is going to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Not only
that's
things
right.
in this earth, but in the heavens also. And the only thing that's going to remain is that which is of God.
That's right. You know, it's the things of God that will remain in us, like you said, is that diamond in the rough, you know, and all that, the pressure and the fire and more pressure and more fire. And then when that diamond gets out, if they dig it out of the ground, then it takes it to the jeweler. Then he starts knocking all the rough edges off to get this pretty looking jewel and polish it, and you know, finally, you know, you got this big rock for a set of a ring or a necklace or something like that, and it's worth a lot of money because of all the stuff that it's went through that fire. And you know, it takes time to make a diamond. It, you know, God doesn't throw it in the microwave, a lump of coal, and all of a sudden, poof, 2 minutes and 55 seconds, out comes the diamond. It doesn't work that way. It's been sitting in there for hundreds and thousands of years down in the ground underneath all that pressure and all that heat, you know, and that's what's so important when we are going through this stuff, that we just cry out to the Lord that for him, look upon the Lord, you know, look at his face, keep our face fixed upon his face,
mm-hmm.
our heart fixed upon his heart, and quit looking at the hand of God. And see, the humans have got here, the people that are not really walking with the Lord, they want us to focus on the hand of God. That's all the goodies. That's all the play toys. That's all the money, and that's all this. And that's not the reason why we're worshiping the Lord, is not because of money. Money is nothing but a tool to get what you need, to move stuff. That has nothing to do with eternal security. Even the play toys here doesn't have nothing to do with eternal security. All our eternal security is Jesus Christ. And, you know, accepting him as our personal Lord and Savior over our life, which is being born again and wholeheartedly walking it out, being a doer of God's word and not just a hearer only, because, Trevor, and you've heard this before, talk is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
The people talk a great talk sometimes, but they're not walking it out. They're not being a doer of the word, and you can spot them a mile away.
Mike, you said a lot of different things there. That was really profound. You know, I remember the miracle that Jesus did with the loaves and fishes. Remember when he beheld all these people? There was thousands of people that were coming out to hear Jesus, and he had compassion on them because they didn't have a shepherd, and they were hungry. They hadn't eaten in days.
Right.
And so Jesus did a miracle where he multiplied just a handful of loaves and fishes and fed these thousands of people. But later, I was trying to find the verse. I didn't quite find it, so I would cite it if I had found it. But someone perhaps could, in the chat room, could help us find the scripture. But Jesus said, you know, you're not coming to me that you might find life or because of who I am, but you're coming to me because of the miracle. You ate, you know, your stomach was full.
Yeah.
And this is, see, we need to really perceive things from, like I said earlier, about from God's perspective. God is God.
That's right.
He has eternal purposes, eternal kingdom, where dwells righteousness and peace and wholesomeness. It's completely different from this age. And we need to keep that in mind. And come to the Lord not because of what he gives us in this age. You know, we see so many bad examples in the church world that's gone astray from the Lord. They use the principles of God for temporal reasons or for worldly reasons or even lustful reasons.
Right.
You know, using God, five easy steps to riches and fame,
yeah.
and have really become such a shameful example of the Lord and have misrepresented him. And I believe that's God's calling to us right now. Is what do we do now? We need to. We're coming outside. We're the church, the called out. We're coming outside the camp. We're coming outside of a corrupt religious system that we would truly serve the Lord. We're actually the church of the wilderness. We don't have a continuing city. We seek one to come. We're looking for New Jerusalem to come down. See, we're looking at things from an eternal perspective, but we want to be faithful to reflect the Lord now and in this age.
Come on.
This is something we're going to see ourselves going into a full circle. For example, one of the elements that was misrepresented was faith, the faith teaching. You know, they were using the principles of faith for selfish reasons, for worldly
right.
reasons, for independent reasons, or reasons that were outside the kingdom of God or the purposes of God.
Right.
But the thing is, we can't despise faith. We're going to find ourselves learning what faith is, because
right.
when we don't have jobs, when there's no food, or when you're sick, we need God to be what he is. And he is the Lord
right.
thy God that provides. He is the Lord thy God that healeth you. He is all things unto you. He is your all in all sufficiency. He is your wisdom. He is your redemption. He is mercy, and he is good. And that's why we need to come to the Lord, because who he is, his nature is good and wholesome and eternal. And I believe we're really going to, as believers of the Lord, as we seek him and wait upon him, and put away these bad examples that we've picked up along the way. We're going to be really radiating true faith, true mercy, true judgment of the Lord. And we're going to be shining his lights in the midst of this crooked, perverse nation, this world.
That's right. You know, and this world has dark, is getting darker, and his light in us should be, it's, which is the glory of God, should be radiating out of us. And that is by just wholeheartedly seeking him each and every day. And here again, being obedient in what God tells you to do. You know, you're being that doer of the word. You have got to go exactly the way that the Lord tells you to do it. Don't compromise anyway. Just think if Noah compromised the ark's blueprint. I call it the blueprint, the instruction that God gave him how to build that ark. If he altered that in any way because he thought he knew more than God did, that thing would have sunk, or it would have started leaking, or something would have happened because he took all these shortcuts and trying to not follow the instructions of being an obedient servant to what God says. Because, see, he was also trying to get, and here goes with what's going on BTR and in the pulpits, you see, he was trying to do something for the Lord, what the Lord's instructed him to do, but meanwhile, and I'm just using this as a metaphor, he's got hecklers in the background that are heckling him, trying to distract him from the work that God has set forth before him to do, which was build that ark, him and his sons, and preach the word of God. You know, and that's what we've got to do today, is not be distracted, because there is a lot of hecklers out here, and the enemy brings them around, and what that does, it toughens us up just like it did Noah and his family. It toughened them up. I mean, probably in the beginning, they probably, it isn't saying the word because it wasn't that important, but I'm just assuming that they were, you know, human beings just like you and I, and in the beginning, it kind of bothered them. But as they went on fellowshipping with the Lord God, the Lord reassured them that they were doing the thing that God has called them to do. And that's what we have to do here today in this hour, because like you were saying, I think earlier we were talking about, you know, like the birds, the fish, all that stuff dying. There's a reason all this stuff is going on, but see, man won't come out and tell you the reason why, because they don't want the people to fear. But we know what's going on, you know, what the Word of God has to say. You can't as a nation be doing as a nation what we're doing. And when I'm talking about nation, I'm talking about me, you, everybody here in the chat rooms, everybody in every state and city. We're all involved in this thing. We're all sinning and falling short of the glory in some shape or form, and we have to do as 2 Chronicles 7:14 states. And I've read that numerous times. And we've just basically got to be seeking God and praying, and he'll answer us. But and then it says, turn from their wicked ways. Mm-hmm. That means drop the hot potato of sin. See, there is so much sin in the body of Christ, they can't tell the difference between the world or the church because they're sleeping together. Yeah. They're both in cahoots together, and now you can't even really tell them apart. And God, like you said, Trevor, God is bringing the so-called four-wall church, man, people are leaving it, and I'm getting phone calls all the time. They can't find the truth. There's no truth. And I just heard a man today, just told me about an hour ago before I called you, dear brother. I just got done talking with him in person. He says, you know, I've been to every church in this area, and there's no truth. There's no truth. Everybody, every pastor or every evangelist is coming through. They're wanting money or a hidden agenda of some sort. Mm-hmm. They're not preaching the true word of God with the anointing of God. And the signs, wonders, and miracles are not taking place in the church like they used to. And, you know, that's what we're looking at right now is that type of setting here in America, because the church and the world is sleeping together. They're, because the people in the church don't want to repent of their sins.
You know, Mike, what you're talking about is what the scriptures describe as a falling away or an apostasy, where
that's
people
right.
We're in the church world. I call it the church world.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the world. You know, the world is a religious place. Let's face
that's
it.
That's right.
But it's corrupted. It's worldly. It doesn't reflect the master. The words that they proclaim are slanted, tainted, either to the left or to the right, from one extreme to another extreme. And this is why, if they, you know, remember, it says in Isaiah 8, verse 20, if they speak not according to my word, it's because there's no light in them. They've changed the gospel. They've gone contrary to the apostles of that are written right in the scripture. We can read their words, and we are in an apostasy. And this is another indication that we are in the last days. And there will be a man of sin, a son of perdition, that will be a replacement that the world embraces, that is full of blasphemy and evil, is a total tyrant, and will lead the world into deception, a kingdom of darkness that God will absolutely judge. So this is, again, why we need to be very careful. I mean, you're right, Mike. The truth has perished. There's such a parallel between what happened to Israel and Judah. We read the book of Jeremiah and compare it to what our day. Truth has perished. They worship God, but they'd worship other gods at the same time. And God told them to remember Shiloh. Remember what I did to Shiloh, the Lord said, where he wrote Ichabod, my glory is departed. And you know, the sad part is, it says in Jeremiah that the priests would not say, where's the Lord? The prophets would say,
come on.
They wouldn't say, where's the Lord? And the people wouldn't say, where's the Lord? They didn't even notice, they didn't even care that he was offended by their idolatry and the refusal to repent. So, as you and me, Mike, brothers and sisters out there, we need to seek the Lord as individuals and submit and conform to the image of his dear son and be an example of a believer. Whether anybody else does or doesn't, we have to follow our Lord. That's our obligation. We're bought with a price by the precious blood of the Lamb. Our life is no longer our own.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, we've also got to come with what the church isn't doing, but what we're supposed to be doing is preaching the word of God in its entirety, preaching in what God has called you and I to do. You know, and God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. You know, we've just got to keep him before everything. I mean, there's so many play toys out here that the church has got into, building programs, this programs,
mm-hmm.
on and on and on, you know.
Well, it goes back to, Mike, what you were sharing earlier. When the Lord would speak to one of his servants and he gave them specific details, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and that way, you know, that way no flesh would glory, no man's wisdom, but it was from obedience. And remember, it says in 1 Samuel 15, that to obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams.
That's right.
That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to go out in your flesh and do this and do that, and you tell the Lord, hey, Lord, got it. I'll take over from here. I got it all under control. And you go out and build something that stinks to high heaven before God.
Yeah. You know, and you know, back in Ezekiel 13, that it talks about, you know, the prophets and prophetesses and ministers, they say, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't, and the Lord's not even involved in what they're saying, because they're just going around blah, 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 and not listening, not seeking the Lord in their prayer closet, not seeking it in their secret place, and not doing what God has instructed them to do or say, and they're wanting to tack God's name on it when he never even said a word. And it says that the judgment will come upon them, the minister. That's the reason why the men and women today, we have got to make sure that we know that when we're saying, thus saith the Lord, it is from the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, I say a lot of times, thus saith Mike, you know. Mm-hmm. Just let people know it's me talking.
You know,
well, I don't want to get people tripped up. Go ahead.
No, Mike. When we love our Lord and we respect him for who he is, we don't put words in his mouth. We don't taint what he said, because none of us as people like it when people twist what we said or put words in our mouth. How much more does God Almighty want to be completely sanctified from having people? He wants people, what I said, speak it. You know, what is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? You know, let him that speaks speak faithfully my word. And that's what we want to do as sons and daughters of God. We want to speak according to the oracles of God, by the grace of God, and minister according to that grace, that God would be glorified. And that's, I love that scripture. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4.
Amen.
Mike, I have a text here I'd like to read.
And go ahead.
On that subject, this is Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me start with verse 3. Now, listen, Mike was talking about our message, our word, what we speak in the name of the Lord. Listen to Apostle Paul had to say. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. You see how that works? That God, when we realize that God's putting us in trust, where here we are in these last days, as I shared in the beginning of this program, God's having the last laugh. He's having the truth of the gospel, the word of God, the call of God to come to him, to repent. All these wonderful things that the Lord is saying tonight. And he's entrusted that to us. And so what he's put in our heart, in our spirit, and in our mouth, we want to speak faithfully what he's saying. We don't want to slant it for any reason. Not as pleasing men. We're not here to please people, but God, who's watching our heart.
Come on.
Now, he goes on and says, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And he talks about how he was very gentle and affectionately minded towards the people that he was ministering to. You see the contrast?
That's right.
Between the religious system, how so much is done today to please people, to draw crowds. And there's such a parallel between, you know, in our country, we have fast food restaurants on every corner, and we have churches on every corner.
That's right.
And they're basically very similar.
Come on.
You can buy whatever is your appetite.
Yeah, you know.
The restaurants are all too willing to prosper off that.
That's right.
But I'm not participating in that, and God
Amen.
Hasn't called any of us to do that. Amen?
Amen. You know, I mean, it's like you said, it's like I call it the drive-through church. They want you to go ahead and do a da-da-da-da with a magic wand treatment. You get them out of their hot, fiery furnace they're in. They don't lose nothing. They don't want to lose the sin. They don't want to change. They don't want to do nothing. But they're there wanting you to get it off of them. And you, as a pastor that caters to that, you'll pray for them or whatever. And they go on, and guess what? They come right back through again. Oh, I've got this thing on me. I got to get this off. Oh, would you please pray for me? Blah, blah, blah. Instead of really seeking God for themselves, because they're not preaching the truth of the word. They're it through the pulpits. They're not preaching it out, saying what is supposed to be saying. They're just, like you said, flattery words, something to tickle their ears, something to get the money in the bucket, because a lot of these people that are out here, they are not appointed by God. They are self-appointed in the fivefold, a lot of these folks. Yes, I mean, you go look on Facebook, and I'm not knocking nobody, but I just did a search one time on prophets and prophetess in Facebook. I was astounded by all the people. I mean, we're talking hundreds, almost 1,000 or more that are just on Facebook alone that I just, and I quit, and I was over, you know, looked through about 800 of them, just skimming through it, and just on and on and on of all these people, and I'm thinking, well, how many people of these are really anointed, called of God, because the word says, your calling will make a way for you. I don't have to tell people that I'm a pastor. I don't have to tell people I'm the evangelist or the prophet or the prophetess, you know, or the woman. Or, you know, you don't have to go around telling all that stuff, because a true prophet will hold his mouth or her mouth, prophetess, prophet or prophetess. They will hold their mouth. They will not just go blabbing out, yeah, just go blabbing everywhere you go. They never be quiet because that's, you know, loose lips. You know, they don't have a strain on their mouth. Because God will not have a prophet or prophetess go around blabbing all the time. It just doesn't work that way, you know. And same way with the evangelist and the pastor. They're not going to go and look at me. I am somebody. If they do, then they're really not in the fivefold ministry position they're saying they are.
A prophet is a servant. A prophet is a courier.
Come on.
He's an ambassador of the king, but he's lowly and obedient. And he delights to do his master's will, right?
That's right.
And I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 4.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, now this is the message of the prophets. Listen to this. Turn ye again now, every one of you,
from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever.
Amen.
And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and to provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. That's the message of a prophet. And if you're hearing something else and prognosticating, and
come on,
there's almost no difference between a psychic and the prognosticators, or they don't,
come on,
you won't hear even the gospel. You won't hear the testimony of Jesus Christ, and I would run.
That's right. That's right.
If you were to,
go ahead.
You know, Mike, in terms of titles, if you were to call me anything, if I could be called a disciple of Jesus Christ, if I could just be a follower of Jesus, that would mean everything to me.
That's right. Or you can say, like I do, man of God or a woman of God, you know? I mean, that is what it's all about, because a servant is supposed to be a server, just like what you were saying. Serve it out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't take it, the dust, shake the dust off and move on what God's told you to do. But you're supposed to just give it out and give it out in love and do what he tells you to do and move on down the road. And that is what you're supposed to be doing as a minister of the gospel and being that ambassador. You know, all of us, when we are being called of God, see, there's a difference between being called by God and to do the office that he's put you in, as well as a self-appointed, you know, and self-anointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see, they don't want to pay the price of that office. It's not, you know, the Lord doesn't come over there and go, da-da-da-da, you're going to be a prophet today or a pastor today, and this is what my calling for you. No, man, you're going to have to pay a price. There is a price to pay to be in the kingdom of God, and he's wanting to see where your loyalty stands. He wants to see, you know, you're going to go through the trials, like you were saying earlier here on the show. You're going to go through some stuff. It is, what are you going to endure? Or are you going to just, if it gets too hot, say, hey, I'm out of this thing. I'll catch you later. I'll go do my thing, you know. I've seen a lot of people do that, and that's not really, they were called self-anointed and self-appointed because, the heat was getting too hot in the kitchen. They wouldn't stay in it. They wouldn't work through it. Like you said earlier, you know, you got to work through that fiery furnace. You got to embrace this thing instead of running from it or running around it, trying to do a shortcut to get through it, whatever. You just got to do what God tells you to do.
Right, and this is where we're at. As believers in Christ, we are before the Lord. We're seeking him. We're listening to him. And right now, he's going to be instructing us from the Scripture and the Spirit of God. And those two agree. Remember, the Word and the Spirit agree.
That's
and
right.
We're gonna repent and put away the bad example that we've picked up.
Come
you know,
on.
We, you know, children learn from example, and
we
picked up a lot of bad example from church land.
Come on.
And now it's time to put it away and let the Lord equip us for what he wants in these last days. The children, you know, we're the church of the wilderness.
Amen.
We're gonna go out with the glory of the house is greater than the former. The glory of the latter house is greater than the former. So God's gonna have a glorious people in these days. He's gonna inhabit, he's looking to inhabit not a building, but people. God's building people. He's building you and me as we yield to him. He's going to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And he's going to put his words in our mouth. And he's going to confirm that word with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will.
That's right.
God's going to be magnified through these dark, dark, dark days. He's going to rise upon us with his light. So that's what God's doing. He's calling us to, I believe too, we were talking about that full circle, Mike. I believe that God's calling us back to being the house of prayer for all
nations. Amen. Amen and amen. Dear brother, if you could put a little pause here, we've got we're at the 16-minute mark, and we got two callers that's really been hanging on.
Okay.
With one of them here. The other one I think dropped off. They'll probably hope you were just on, caller, if you would, just call back on her. I know BTR has been really on the switchboards. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to take on the 754 area code, and we're going to see what they have to say. Hello, how you doing? Where are you from? Who are you, may I ask?
God bless you. This is Pastor Steve Renamaker.
Well, praise God.
I'm enjoying immensely this brother that you have on with you today. I enjoy his words of knowledge, and I'm enjoying his just on just, you know, what are you saying and what are you seeing as far as what. And my comment is, because you stand in the garage does not make you a car.
Amen, Pastor Steve.
Because you stopped by, because you got a letter in your mailbox addressed to your neighbor, and you go by there and drop off the letter, that doesn't say you work for the post office. And so people today are saying, you know, well, the Lord used me to prophesy, and so that makes me a prophet. No, that's not true. That's not true. God used a chicken to prophesy, and the chicken kept on being the chicken. He used a donkey to prophesy, and the donkey kept on being the donkey. It didn't change. And like you said, the brother said, to be a prophet, that's a lifestyle. And like you were saying, Pastor Mike, just to say, well, okay, I'm prophesying or whatever, and it just, you know, it wasn't even so. You, somebody used you to bring a message. You've got a five minute space against service. So that says you're a preacher because you brought a message. And this is what's going on. People are not committed to the lifestyle or the process. The process of God making you. And that's why we got so many renegade Christians and leaders in the body of Christ, because they didn't wait to be a winner before God sent them. And God called them. Maybe he might have called them, but they got out of God's timing and got out of God's order and just ran and didn't wait. I was saying yesterday, I'm gonna be finished. Yesterday, God anointed David to be king at 17. David did not take the throne until he was 30 years old.
Mom.
Now, what's wrong with that? There was a process, and he wasn't still, but he went through the process of God making him a king, so that when he got there, at least he had been to school, and he knew some of the rules to the game. But people don't know that they don't know. They don't know. And I was talking with another preacher today, and people are not saying yes to the Lord. They're not selling out to the Lord and fully going out. And as the brother was saying just a few minutes ago, and you out supposed to be ambassador or supposed to be the mouthpiece of God, but yet you're not saying what God say, you're saying what you want to say. So you are operating under your own regimen rather than under the words of God. And so then you're saying, like I always say, God said, he don't mind you building your own kingdom. If Pastor Steve wants to go and build his own kingdom, God said, I don't have a problem with that. Go ahead, do your own thing. But just don't steal my bricks. In other words, don't use my name as your stepping stone. Don't stand on my shoulders to make yourself look good. Thank you, sir. That brother got me stirred. He stirred me up. He did his talk so good. I enjoyed him. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Hang on the line there, brother. Brother, Pastor Steve, go ahead, Trevor.
Well, I really appreciate Brother Stephen's Amaker's ministry. Praise God. I love the way, you know, like the Lord has different one of us express things in such wonderful different ways, but yet it's true. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God.
Right.
That's wonderful. I'm looking at Amos chapter 3, and it's talking about the prophet, and God won't do anything without a prophet. God does have prophets. We're just talking about the extremes and excesses and falseness, because we don't want to be anything false. We want to be genuine, true, real. But here's the thing. When it says here in Amos chapter 3, verse 8, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? See, we're going to hear the voice of the Lord. And what the Lord said is, what I speak in darkness, bring to light. What I speak in the ear, shout it from the rooftop. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to be doing. And the true word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, will be heard in the last days, and it'll thunder. Praise God.
Amen. You know, and also we got to be that watchmen and women on the wall. We've got to be warning people. And see, if we can't walk in the office like Pastor Steve Amaker said and Trevor said, if we cannot walk in this office, people know that, hey, prophet Whistlebritches is over here flapping his gums all the time, living in sin, I'm not going to hear anything. The people know this. A sinner can really tell. They'll know, hey, this man or this woman knows God. They can just sense it. They can see it because it's a lifestyle that they're walking. I've had this encounter before. They've asked me, people said, man, you don't stand around the water cooler and listen to all the jokes and all this? No, don't have time for it, you know, stuff like that. It's that setting ourselves apart from this world. Yes, we're supposed to be living in it to be that witness, to let the glory of God shine out of us. And you can only do that through a lifestyle of paying the price. Paying
Amen.
That price.
Amen. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, remember that we are the house or the temple of God, and the Spirit of God is in you. That we looked at the ancient days with the Ark of the Covenant, but what we have is far more exceeding glorious. We have Jesus Christ, who is the hope of glory, within us, and we need to let that light shine, be the salt of the earth, and be the light of this world through Jesus Christ, and tell people that they have a hope in the Lord. It's everything of this world is going to be confounded. The gods of this world, they that believe in them, there's going to be a literal war between God and the rebels, and that people can repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in these days.
That's right. I mean, go ahead, Pastor Steve.
May I say, when you're talking about the prophet, the church and today's body has traded the definition of the prophet. Everybody say, thus saith the Lord, I see a brand new car. I see God going to give you a big house. I see God going to give you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Ooh, brother, you a prophet. Ooh, that's a prophet. That's a prophet. But show me where the prophet in the Bible did that. There's not a place that the prophet came prophesying houses and cars and great wealth. He didn't do that. What was his job? As Brother Trevor was saying, his job was to bring warning to that city, warning to that king, warning to that nation, and say, you got to get yourself right. Because, and so now, everything that say, God says, I see a house, God says, you're a prophet. But when you get up and say, thus saith the Lord, come out of your sin and live holy before me, you're a false prophet. You ain't that dog. I ain't going to follow that guy because he's not talking right. And that's what's wrong with the church now. We have embraced this false ideology of what a prophet is. And then let me say this, like I said earlier, a prophet is not a person more than it is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't understand, the life of the prophet, you'll never see where the prophet hung out with a whole bunch of people. He always came alone. He always was by himself. He was always traveled alone. He spoke alone. He talked alone. He lived alone. He traveled alone. Just him and maybe his Naaman. Whatever was his name, Elisha's, keeper. That young man.
Yeah.
But Mason. But you got the prophets and all these prophets, they got these big entourage and they hanging out. So what?
Come on.
All right. I'm sitting there, right? Okay.
Come on.
And this is bad because what God say you are and what the church and the world say you are is two different things.
Come on.
And so. Let me say this like this. God does not have to uphold nothing but his word. You don't have to stand nothing but, stand behind nothing. You don't have to stand behind nothing but what he say. He said, my word. Heaven and earth shall pass away before
Come
my
on.
Word. Not even Stephen Amaker. Stephen Amaker just said, what is it when, if God did not tell me, and I was doing something today, and a young lady said, oh, you're a prophet. I said, yes. She says, oh, so you see things. I said, yes. What do you see about me? I said, nothing. Nothing. I don't see nothing about you. Because I'm not there. And God is not showing me anything. and that's a bad thing, because we want to impress people. Oh, I can just turn it on and turn it off and see this. Just save the Lord. Come on, man. You're messing up. You're messing up when you do stuff like that.
That's right. You know, and I'll turn it over to Trevor here in a second. We're at the five-minute mark. But, you know, we're going to go into the archives. If you guys would hang around, we'll go into the archives a little bit. Because I really sense the Lord's got some other things to bring out here. But when the prophet came on the scene, that wasn't a good sign. That was not a good sign. Because the prophet brought the correction. He brought saying to the pastor, you need to quit your sin. These people in here need to quit their sin. He started naming these people off and the sin that they were doing. That is what a true prophet does. He comes to lower the hammer as God's mouthpiece, supposed to be consecrated enough and living a holy lifestyle where he can drop the hammer and the Lord will speak directly through him, and that signs, wonders, and miracles will be performed through that prophet or prophetess, however it may be. Trevor?
Well, Mike, the Lord has no pleasure to bring judgment upon people. But he says, amend your ways and your doings, and it'll be well with you. But if you refuse and rebel, it'll be ill with you. And the Lord has no desire. He wants no one to go into hell, eternal judgment. He wants people to have eternal life. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you think God's going to give this great price and have that blood of his Son trampled underfoot, and you're going to get away with it, you got another thing coming to you. Because the Lord God is risen up to judge right now, and we're in unprecedented times. Now is the time to hear his voice, because he's calling you. He's commanding you to repent and to walk softly before a living God. And if you do, it'll be well with you. If you refuse, it'll be ill with you. That's the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, brothers, I'd like to share two verses. You know, we're talking about where do we go from here as ministries of the Lord. We're going to put away the bad example and learn from the Lord. And this is one of the wonderful texts in the Bible, 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And may that be our commitment and dedication from henceforth. Amen?
Amen. You know, it's basically, you know, just being a parishioner, all you got to do is just listen to what God is telling you to do to be obedient. And we're here at the two-minute mark, and we're going to go into the archives, and I just want to kind of put things on hold here for a second. The Lord's saying, bring out salvation. Trevor, could you just give a little short salvation invitation to anybody that is out here that is listening in the archives or live on their computers? Could you say something on that? We've got 2 minutes, a minute now.
The wonderful gospel, the gospel of God, is that he did love you so much. He gave his only Son to take away the sins of the world. That he was crucified for our sins, not his own, but our sins. He was buried for 3 days according to the scriptures, and he was raised again from the dead according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. If you'll repent and have faith in the gospel, the Lord will give you eternal life, and he's called you to be walking him and be obedient to him. Have faith in the Lord. And this is the good pleasure of the Lord to give you eternal life. Just acknowledge him and his greatness. Call upon him, because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is the Lord, he is the King, and he's coming to bring judgment to the wicked, the rebels that refuse to repent. But he's coming to save those that love him and have repented. So the choice is yours. Believe and have eternal life, or refuse and find judgment. But choose life. Choose life. Choose the Lord.
Amen and amen. And everybody, I thank again, Voice in the Wilderness, Valviano, Rahway 11, Oasis 1, King to the King. You know, I thank you for being here. Joseph 2012, Joyous for Jesus, JC Overcomer, Cheryl, thank you for being here. I Endure, and other ones that are listening on the archives. and then on their computers live. And we're just, if you want to hear the rest of this, I ask you to just listen in the archives later on, and then you'll hear the continuation of this. We're going to go into it a little while longer. Lord willing, however long he would desire for it to go on is what we will do. And I just say thank everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll be back here again at 5 o'clock. I thank you. You have a blessed evening. Okay. You know, Trevor, you know, if you could you kind of touch on the events that has taken place here lately, how it pertains to the scriptures, dear brother?
Okay. Well, we're seeing multiple things. One of the chief concerns that I've been concerned about is what Jesus said about deception. And what we're seeing now is the lies of the Antichrist spirit deceiving the masses. They're using the technology, the media, the television, the movies, the music to lead people in away from God. They're indoctrinating people away from God. They're using the things of the world to alienate people. In other words, you know, with the sensuality, the immorality, it's darkening people's minds from God. And now what they're doing, they're talking about controlling the internet. They're talking about licensing the internet. So we're going to see censorship and opposition to the gospel. To, you know, Jesus made great exclusive claims. For example, he said, "I'm the way. I'm the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by me." And what we're going to see the spirit of the Antichrist saying is, you can't make those kind of claims. You know, they're
That's
supporting
right.
all religions, many paths, which is a total lie. And it puts people in great jeopardy, because if they believe those lies, they'll be perish. We're seeing many unprecedented things, such as the economy of the United States of America. The greatest economy in world history has been crashing for several years now, and it's not over. We see food supply on an international basis, with Russia and China withholding their wheat and corn. We're seeing the manipulation with the seeds. They're called termination seeds, where they don't regenerate. They're tampering with God's creation. So many, many things. The psychological thing leading people away from God, the foolishness in the church world, the apostasy. We're seeing them encircle the people with, well, we're going to see martial law in the United States of America. We're going to see them enforcing this godless agenda with military might. We see weird weather. And last year was a record year of deaths. I don't know if people realize that. Many people died last year. But the Lord has shown me that there will be multiple cataclysms. I mean, one strike after another, and with the economy and pestilence and plague and food shortage and people losing their job, then you'll have civil distress where people afraid and angry and mad and crime. And so this is why you want to be in the wings of the Lord. You want to be hidden in the Lord, faithful, obedient to him, and that way not a hair on your head will perish outside the will of God.
Amen. You know, and what was the scriptures that you were saying to me, we were talking about earlier, during the week or sometime the last week, about the Lord had you do a show on your own website for your website audio. It was pertaining to the stuff that was getting ready to take place.
Well, I believe I was talking about frog soup, and that,
yes.
That's the basic
yes.
principle where you do that, you implement the changes slowly, and they're really not generally perceived. Like, you know, you heat the pot of water, the
right.
frog won't jump out, and he's cooked. And that's what the devil has planned for the masses. He's opposite God. He hates, and he's a tyrant, and he wants people's destruction. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But since then, one of the stories that was posted was the Air Force, United States Air Force, has a new drone where they said, we can see everything. That they were using this, I believe, in the Middle East. And you see, you know, again, the devil wants to mimic God.
That's right.
God can see everything, hear everything, and he knows everything. And the devil's trying to be God. And this is what they literally have technology where they can insert thoughts into your mind, projecting it. They can, you know, they have, there was a movie years ago called Minority Report where they, thought
yeah.
crime. I mean, they actually have these things. And this is why we need to be in the Lord, to have our mind girded by the Lord and have the shield of faith where we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
It's just amazing. Utah has announced they're welcoming the NSA, the secret agency of the United States government, to have a mega Snoop Center. Billions of dollars are going into that, where they're going to watch everything, listen to everything. And you can, you know, people think, Mike, you know, hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's it matter? Well, if God is in control, I mean, in this case, God is benevolent. He's good. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. But Satan is not. He wants to destroy. And I don't put my trust in any man. I put my trust in the Lord. And that's where this is going. Anything can and will be used against you. That's why it's quite amazing. Then Obama is eyeing the Internet ID for Americans.
Yes.
I believe they will censor and control the Internet. This is why we need to be faithful in speaking this word, the message of the Lord, and do it while we can.
That's right. Because I do believe in due time that they will try to snuff out the message of the gospel from being brought over the airwaves. I don't know, including radio, TV, as well as on the Internet. You know, they're going to try to snuff all this out by censorship, because that is that Antichrist spirit that is running rapid throughout this land and in this nation. You know, and also we're just seeing things materializing faster every day, because the word does say, I believe, in Matthew 24, that things will get sped up. Time's getting sped up. So we still have 24 hours in the day, you know, 7 days a week, but in our mind it is getting sped up, because there's things, I don't know about you guys, but we get going along and all of a sudden you look at your watch or the clock in your car or truck, and you're going, wow, I don't know, you know, it's that time? You know, it's went by so quickly that, you know, beforehand, you know, a year or two ago, it wouldn't have went by that quick. But it has a lot to do with our psyche that is being manipulated by the enemy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why we've got to get in the Word. That's the reason why I stress, and you do, and all of you, I know I'm preaching to the choir here that is listening, and we've got to get this word out. We're at critical mass right now as a nation. We're at it right before the explosion of hell to take place upon this nation, and we're supposed to be sounding the alarm, like your website says, as well as the watchmen and women on the wall telling people the truth, the true word of God, so they know the truth. So they can have fellowship with the Lord. So they can, ones that are out here that are backslidden, they can come back to the Lord. But they can only come back through that when they hear the true word of God. Because, see, they've already been, I'd say, you know, bummed out, you know, because of this lies. Out and out lies have just been, it gets bigger every year. It's always something bigger, something new that the church is coming up with, instead of, you know, having the church doors open no matter what. You know, a lot of churches are closed for the due to the lack of interest, you know, because they just don't want to come. Or they don't want to go to the prayer meeting. See, the prayer meeting, I'm getting off on this now.
Mm-hmm.
A prayer meeting at a church is more important than the message being brought out. Because if you don't have pre-service prayer, you don't have prayer going in that church, then that word that is going to come across that pulpit will drop off like a lead balloon. It won't even affect the people. But it's prayer that is God's generator. That's what, you know, we keep in just praying and interceding, and we get impregnated with the word of God, so we birth this thing in the spirit. See, if you don't birth it from the spirit realm, everything comes from the spirit realm into the natural. Everything. Everything that you see in the natural is all from, all come from the spirit realm.
Yes.
So, you know, it's important to let God, you know, do his work.
Brother NFL Steve, 04. The mobile customer you have called is unavailable or traveled outside the coverage area. Please try your call again later.
Hey, Brother Steve, if you're there, if you would, raise your hand up.
Outside the coverage area.
Yeah, he dropped off. You know, it's so important, like you were saying, Trevor, we have just got to stay in the readiness of the Lord. We've got to stay in with the Lord. We've got to stay seeking the Lord at this
this time and this hour. I can't, you know, and Pastor Steve has said this many times, and I like the way that he says it. It's time to stop playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready, get real, get in there and do what God's called us to do, because we've got to have that warrior tenacity spirit within us. We've got to have that boldness. There's so much distractions, it's unreal, that is trying to come upon you and I and everybody to get us off the mark, what God has called you and I to do at this hour. And we've just got to stay focused. Back to you.
I agree with you. I believe God's calling us to action. You know,
right.
not just to hear the word only, but to do the word. And you know, I want to just point out, like, Alex Jones, I mean, he has a message. He talks about and documents the New World Order and what it's doing. And if you notice, his character is such where he's very bold, and he encourages people to take his information and distribute it. He's not competitive, okay? He's not offended that there's others
right.
out there. He wants people to rise up and get the message out. Now, and think about what people do. They create YouTubes, they do radio programs, they do a lot of protests, a lot of stuff, talk to people, pass out DVDs. You know, and if they do that on a secular, natural level, how much more should God's people, in the name of Jesus Christ, how about passing out tracts, do radio broadcasts like this, whatever
uh-huh.
the Lord asks the Lord, seek him, but use our time. You know, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil,
exactly.
and we need to take advantage because it's winding down. There's only so many minutes, so many seconds, so many days, so many hours left, and we need to use it.
Amen. Amen and amen. Dear brother, do you have anything that you would further like to share on?
Which are you talking to me?
Yes,
Trevor?
Sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, I really believe the theme tonight of our sharing time, I believe that I want to challenge those that are listening now. And is this going to be available for those that are listening?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about what do we do now. We're talking about, okay, we're in the last days. We're recognizing these are the last days, what the Lord's doing, and we're going to seek him, what he wants us to do. And this morning I want to challenge you to be a better servant to the Lord on an individual, personal basis, to your Father, to your Lord that loves you, to be a better serving him. What does he want you to do? How does he want you to do it? When? Where? All the details that would entail. Instead of just, like we were talking about earlier, just doing our own thing with the Word of God, doing our own thing with our gifts and abilities, whatever, but really serving the Lord.
Amen.
And so how do we do that? Well, we do that by yielding and surrendering on a very intimate basis. And I just want to challenge all of us as we're coming into this new year to let's make that dedication and like a devotion, really.
Amen.
To really be serving our Lord. Lord, how do I serve you today?
Amen.
And I pray we should pray about that, pray over that, and make that a commitment.
Amen. I mean, that's what we got to do, go into our secret place and just be with him and ask him that stuff and pray it out, you know. And like I was saying, again, a prayer service at a church or at a ministry or pre-service prayer. I know I've got to get back into it. We used to do it on these shows, have pre-service prayer. You know, we'd call each other up on our cell phones and
mm-hmm.
Skype and do pre-service prayer before the show. And I just noticed, the Lord just brought this back to me, that when we had that going on, we had no opposition. The Lord had his protective angels there protecting the chat room, he had it protecting the phone lines, computers. I mean, it was just amazing. And the Lord's, just, the conviction of the Lord, he just put it upon me that we've got to get back into this pre-service prayer before these radio broadcast shows here on BTR, because I'm telling you, I've seen a big difference. And I've seen it where it got slacked off because people got busy and things, and I've been guilty of it as too, and I'm just confessing it over the airwaves. I've been guilty of it, and I've got to get back in it and having pre-service prayer before shows and just go before the Lord and,
mm-hmm.
and just, like you say, ask his protection, his everything upon each and every show, that it would be his words, not our words, and his teachings and, you know, his stuff. because I do not want to fall in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel and that one chapter you read in Jeremiah about the prophets slash ministers of the gospel. I don't want that. I want to be what God has want me to be, you know, and I just want to just follow him. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit was within me, and he'll show me all truths to all things if I yield to it. And I'm learning how to yield more to that still small voice that lies inside of me. Because a lot of times in the past, I call it the yucky feeling. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, man. It's like you stepped in something in the yard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, it's all over the bottom of my shoes. Oh, my word. That's how I felt, you know, in the past, you know? And I'm thinking, well, we're not going down that road no more, you know? So it's. I encourage everybody to just sharpen up your ear, tune that dial in, you know, like on the old radio dials, to get it on the station. I've got to get it fine-tuned onto the station to be able to really hear what the Lord is saying, because the Lord is like a beacon. He's always talking. But are we willing to listen? Are we willing to put down stuff and listen to what he's got to say? Because at any hour, we should be able to listen to hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the dial dialed in right on the station. Trevor, do you have anything else? If not, we're going to close this show out.
No, that's. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being part of this program.
Yes, and if you would, please stay on the line.
Okay.
I'm going to close this out with prayer. Dear Father God, I just thank you for the work that you have done in each and every one of our hearts, and your word has been spoken out. I just thank you that all the listeners in the archives, Father God, that you would just bless them mightily for this message, because it is your message. We just yield ourselves to you. We walk in that walk that you've called us to walk the best of our ability. And when we fall short, we repent, Father God, and we just love you with all of our heart and soul, mind, and body. And we give you all the praise and glory that is due to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thank everybody for showing up. I thank the area code 402 for listening in. I'll be getting with you a little bit later on, 402 area code. I love you, dear sister, woman of God. I just thank God for the things that he's doing in each and one of our ministries and networks and everything else. God is on the move. We've got to get the spiritual backbone. We've got to become more bolder. We've got, you said, Trevor, and I'll end it with this. If the world's doing it, we should intensify it by tenfold.
Mm.
We should really come out swinging, so to speak, for the Lord. God bless. We'll be back here tomorrow night at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We love you guys, and see you later. Bye-bye.